this is BC, and I'd like to welcome you to the New Day Podcast. Today, I'd like to share with you, I believe, to be one of the most important chapters in the Bible. It's the parable of the sower that Jesus taught. And it's really the most powerful and foundational scriptural description of the kingdom of God that I can see in the Bible. Jesus even said that. He said, if you know this one, you'll know them all. And if you don't know this one, you'll be lacking. I'm going to talk to you today about the seed. Seeds are very interesting. It goes back to Genesis chapter 1. The seed is within itself, within the fruit, within the wheat. God creates self-replication. It's a kingdom principle, multiplication. And today, what Jesus taught, he said the sower sows the word. The word of God is the most important thing to sow into our lives. Genesis 8:22 talks about the principle of seed time and harvest. Talks about other things, day and night, hot and cold, summer and winter. We've got to realize that the systematic planting of word truth in our lives will build us up, will renew our minds, strengthen our bodies, and just restore us to the God life that Jesus came to give us. Oh, God loved the world, and he came and he gave Jesus, John 3:16. Jesus took our place. He was the first, the original seed. We release seeds in three different ways primarily. What we do, what we say, and what we think. Doing is an action. Faith is an action. As we act our faith, we're sowing a faith seed. As far as what we say, we can say to the mountain. Jesus taught that in Mark 11:23. If you say and doubt not, and speak the word of God with boldness, your life will change. Those are word seeds. Then finally, what we think. Our thought process is interesting in that what we think can either be something deliberate or something that we absorb or listen to or watch. So Jesus talked in Mark 4 about the sower sows the word. And as we see from these three, what we do, what we say, and what we think, we see that we can change our lives. You know, the one person, the son came. It didn't germinate. The other person, birds of the air, came and took it. Ate it, I guess. Sounds a whole lot like the devil. He loves to do that type of thing. See, the sower sows the word. And then there's others. They have no root in themselves either, because when they hear the word, this type of person hears it and they receive it with gladness. This is all in Mark chapter 4. And have no root in themselves. They endure for a time, a season. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, they're offended. They stick with it for a while and may become offended. Today I want to ask you, are you offended? Are you bitter? Are you resentful towards anyone? That'll mess you up. That'll stop the word process in your heart and mind. And what happens to these individuals? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in. Cares, anxiety, worry, unduly concerned, trying to carry the responsibility for another person on your own back. You can't do it. It'll short-circuit the word. Deceitfulness of riches. Notice it says deceitfulness. Riches is one of those subjects that, I mean, there's people that, I heard this from Kenneth Copeland, actually, there's people that have no money, and they want all money, and that's a deceitfulness of riches. They envy those who have it. And then there's people who have it, don't really get deceived by it. See, money is a deceptive thing. Money in our culture, in America anyway, it's something that we use and see to think that we're protected by our money, we're covered by our money. But as far as deceitfulness of riches is concerned, the poor person can become so envious and jealous of those that have money that it chokes the word in them. And there's the lusts of other things, that strong desire. Good example again is money. You can labor 60, 80 hours a week and stay broke. Strong sexual desires. You can have a lust for food. You can want this. You can want that. The lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Finally, we get to the guy who, or gal who, sows that seed in good ground. Hear the word, they receive it, and they bear fruit with it. See, that's the key. The word of God is destined and called to bear fruit in the life of the Christian. That's why at the new birth, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're born again. That's your spirit. You gotta have a soul. Your soul has a We possess our soul as we grow in Christ. And then we have a body, learning to keep under our body, learning to take dominion over our flesh. Jesus died on the cross for us. Thank you, Father. So, it's so important to understand that. I just want to read this. Mark Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in darkness. Jesus was a great storyteller, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Mark 4:13. And how then will ye know all parables? Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word today. If you've been born again, and you're a Christian, sow the word of God into your heart, into your mind. Think upon it, meditate upon it. And you too will be like one of those in verse 20. You'll be one of those who sow on good ground. You hear the word. Receive it, and you bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some